Chapter 2 is where we're at, and last week I know Brother Ernie and him were not able to be with us because of his bout with the crud, but I got a little footnote here I'm going to read, and about Hosea. It said Hosea was a prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel, and he served from 753 B.C., to 715. He served under the reign of Jeroboam, and the northern kingdom had prospered materially as well as spiritually. And they prospered materially, but they decayed spiritually. I said prospered, but they decayed. The people were greedy, and they had adopted the moral behavior, adulterous religion of the surrounding Canaanites. Doesn't that sound like people today? We watch our family members, we watch our co-workers, we watch our neighbors, you know. It seems like they get a new boat, we got to have a boat. They get a new camper, we got to have a camper. They go do this, and I call it keep up with the Joneses, you know. And their heart and their life, a lot of times keeping up with to the Joneses, it'll put you under the poorhouse instead of on top of it. It sure will. But if you flip back to the first chapter, I want to read verse 2 to you, and for a couple of verses there. It said, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So he married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel, and in that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. And so you remember how old King Ahab, what a wicked king. Scripture told us that there's never been one is more wicked than what he was in his life and the things that he did. But because of that wickedness, that bunch was going to be wiped out. And what they were doing and their hearts and their lives. So God said, go take to yourself an adulterous wife. And she did. She conceived, she had a son, and the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel, because I'll soon punish the house of Judah, Jehu, for the massacre at Jezreel. We'll get to that in a little bit, and heart and life. But in chapter 2 here is all about Israel's punishment and their restoration to the things of God that God is trying to restore them to, and their hearts and their lives. And so here he said, say to your brothers, my people, and of your sisters, my beloved ones, rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. Otherwise, I'll strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day that she was born. I will make her like a desert. I'll turn her into a parched land, and slay her without thirst. And so God's intent is to deal with the adulterous folks that had gotten so far away from him and the land. He's using the illustration of adulterous woman, but he had a whole nation of adulterous people, man and woman, you know. And that's the reason he said, save your brothers, my people, save your sisters, my beloved ones, and their hearts. He said, I'm going to make them like a desert. A desert's what? Dry, parched land, ain't it? And I'll slay her with thirst. And we've watched enough of them old cowboys to watch them trying to get across the desert and seeing those mirages of what they thought was a pool of water out there and be dry and desolate. That's the way I envision what the Lord's talking about here. Verse 4, he said, I'll not show my love to her children because they are the children of adultery. And that old saying that a lot of people say, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. They're fooling themselves, aren't they? And he said, their mothers have been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. So rather than finding themselves in this position here where God's judgment's coming down on them, if they'd have went to him and asked him for forgiveness, what would have happened? He would have forgave them, wouldn't he? But because they refused to do this, and they went out and said, I'll go after my lovers. You know, I'm going to go do what I want to do, you know. And who give me my food and my water, and my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. And so all the things he thought he was doing on his own, didn't he? But think about us for a moment. What do? You know, we claim those blessings, you know. And I've heard people say, I'm a self-made man, you know. You know, I come from nothing, and I work myself up from the bootstrings, and I've accomplished this, and I've accomplished that, and I've done this, and I've done, you know. And that's right. And in our cases, and what the Lord is, if he had to give us the skills and the abilities, the health, the strength, wisdom to get out there and gain and obtain, where would we be at in our hearts and our lives, you know? We'd be in the poorhouse, wouldn't we? And verse 6, he said, therefore I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She'll look for them, but not find them. So what he's wanting you to understand here is he's using the analogy of an unfaithful mate to their husband or wife. But the real analogy and reality here is that he's speaking about how unfaithful they've been to the Lord and their hearts and their lives. And we all know many people that God's been so good to in their hearts and their lives, but very seldom ever see anything that would acknowledge in any way their faith, their belief in him and their hearts and their lives there. And he said, because they said, I'm going out to my lovers. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I'm going to drink what I want to drink. I'm going to go where I want to go. So he said, therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. Now, when we just try to raise a garden, what are we fighting? All sorts of things. Sandspur's that's a bad company. And I'm telling you, I remember one time our lower field down below where the dry cows, milk cows, stayed all the time. After we went out of the dairy business and stuff, and I was just a big old boy, they had plowed that up and was going to make a place to feed out his calves and the steer calves that he kept from the dairy thing. And he said that he knew that he'd been there a number of years. And he said, but where them coffee weeds come from? He said, when I broke that ground up, the coffee weeds just come, you know, like Brother said, it comes all these sands for all these things, you know, and these boys raising their own deer corn, you know, and stuff, you know, and them on morning glories, making a believer out of them. It's working on them corn pickers and stuff. What'd God say? I'll block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers but not catch them. She'll look for them but not find them. Then she will say, I'll go back to my husband at first. When they ruined their life, made a mess out of things, destroyed their family, destroyed, ain't got nowhere to turn, God's put a block in their, all the prosperity they're doing in their hearts and all. Then she's ready to do what? What does man do? Tragedy strikes of some sort. Sickness comes on the scene. Accidents happen. Then what we want God to do? Bail us out, don't we? Come to our rescue. Help us, Lord. And she said, I'll go back to my husband, I said, first. For then I was better off than now. Well, at least I had a roof over my head and food for my belly, you know. She said, if I'm better off, I'll go back. And her heart and her life and things that she's doing. Verse 8 says, she has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine, and the oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold, which they used for Baal, idol worshiper, you know. Now, somewhere along the line in this adulterous doings of Gomer here, the woman, she's made a lot of money. She's got a lot of jingle in her pocket. Gold and silver, the scripture says, along with the other things in her hearts and her life. Do you want me to win? Yep. Throwed it away. They used it for the wrong things. God has prospered a lot of people, and they've used it in the wrong way. Verse 9 says, therefore I'll take away my grain when it ripens, and my new wine when it is ready. I'll take back my wool and my linen, intended to cover her nakedness. All those pretty dresses, all those fine clothes and jackets and winter clothing that she made out of the wool. He said, I can take all that away from him. How can he do it? Fire, hurricane, all kinds of things. God can take it just like that. Yeah. So now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lover. You know? A lot of people and involved in things, and they think nobody knows nothing about it, you know. He said, I'm going to expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands. I will stop all of her celebrations, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all of her appointed feasts, all the things that God had ordained. He said, I'm going to take away from them, you know, times of celebration. And he said, her yearly festivals, what do we celebrate every year? Our birthdays, you know, anniversaries, different things, you know, that we, and we have good times and bad times, you know, we celebrate all these. And he said, I'll ruin her vines and her fig trees, which she said were her pay from her lovers. I'll make them a thicket. So all those grapevines, all those olive branches, all those fig trees, which she said were her pay from her lover, he planted those gardens and made her happy, just like you and I dig around and plant flowers and different things for our wives and stuff. God said, I turned that vines and fig trees and olive bushes into a thicket. Yep. And wild animals will devour them. And I was at a fella's house yesterday, I noticed out around his scuffing vines and stuff. I said, do you have any? He said, pretty sorry this year. It wasn't much to them. And he called them by their proper name. I call them the white ones and the red ones and stuff. And we walked over and he said, oh, wait. And I just plundered off over, going to get me a handful to eat. He said, let me undo this hot wire here. He said, you hit that, it'll wake you up. But he said, I had to put that up there. It keeps deer from eating them up. And he said, that's just unreal. What?
Mine didn't produce anything.
Didn't. That's because you let Earn Ray get a hold of them with that hatchet. He cut them back, didn't he? But next year you'll have somebody. He said, here, I will punish her for the days. She burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers. But me, she forgot, declares the Lord. Just think about that. He said, she burned incense to the Baals. And why was a, hit me up, Brian, which God turned him into a leopard because he wanted to do the job of a priest and go in and offer the incense and stuff. And God turned and he died, King Uzziah. Yeah. And then when we started in Ezekiel, you know, it said in the year that Uzziah died, he is still a leopard, you know. Had to live in a house by himself and all that. But he lived a long life. Verse 14 says, therefore I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert. And I'll speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards. And I'll make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And so he's willing to restore what he's taken away from them if they do what he would have them to do in their hearts and their lives concerning that. And he'd be like a husband that's willing to forgive and take her back into her proper place there and do what God would have her to do. And so the Valley of Achor. Achor, it just means trouble. Valley of trouble. And so we got land all over our world today that are full of trouble, aren't they? The things that they're doing. And he said, I'll make the Valley of Achor a door of hope. Instead of being a door of trouble, it'll be a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the days that she came up out of Egypt. And you remember how they were when they came out of bondage there, Pharaoh let them go. They got to the Red Sea, and all they could see was what? Chariots and horses are coming. God rolled back, and they crossed over on dry land. Did things he did. He said, in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You'll no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the fields and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle, I will abolish from the land, so that all may lie down in safety. Somebody quote that scripture, the lion and the lamb will lie down together. And that's what he's describing here, real peace. When's that going to take place? Ain't going to take place on this earth, is it? Take place when he calls his church out. He said, I will betroth or pledge you to me for how long? Forever. Forever. And I will betroth you in a righteousness and justice and love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. And when do you think that's going to take place? I believe it's going to be after he calls us home. Too much wickedness here, ain't there? Too much sinfulness, too much. That's right. And how he deals with them in the tribulation or the millennium, I'm just going to get to watch it, you know. I've always said I wanted to be a fly on the wall. I'm going to be. I'm going to get to be that fly on the wall. I'm going to get to see what the Lord. You know, and it's just great to know that you ain't going to be a part of that persecution that's going to fall on them when they rejected the Lord doing what he would have them to do in their hearts and their lives. Verse 21 says, in that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine, and the oil. And they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the ones I called, not my loved ones. And give them an idea of what they could have had. And so his wedding gift, so to speak, that he's given to all of his people that trust him is his forgiveness, his righteousness, his mercy, and his grace. Who did he offer that to? He said, whosoever will, didn't he? They had that opportunity. And he said in the last part of that verse 20, 3 there. He said, I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. And I thank God that he's a forgiving God. He's a compassionate God. But at the same time, you know, and I say this all the time because there's so many people that are fooled by this. You can talk to them about their relationship with the Lord. They'll say, Brother Larry, you mean to tell me that this kind, compassionate, caring, loving God that you talk about is so good and so da-da-da-da-da, they got it all down pat, you know? He gonna send me to hell? I said, no, you send yourself because you reject. But they think because they're good people, good woman, good man, good son, good daughter, you know? I've had them tell me time and time, you know, if I see my brother in need, I help him. You know, I try to be an example before my neighbors and all. And he said, they know they can depend on me. All that's what?
Works.
Works. And he said, that's not a works, lest any man should boast. And so we've heard what he's going to do to the punishment and stuff and what he's willing to do if they'll come back and let him be their God and they'll be his people. Now look at chapter 3 here. As we, a few short verses here. But he's had Hosea to go out and find Gomer, marry her, have children by her. But let's see what happens. The Lord said to me in verse 3. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Go show your love to your wife again. Go out there in the highways and the byways and the hedges and wherever you think she might be and find Gomer and bring her back. Go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Kind of tells me there that you're going to find her lying with another man somewhere or another. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Whew. That'd be tough to do, wouldn't it? Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and they love the sacred raisin cakes or the communion bread God is teaching us to have in the New Testament. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lekhtah of barley. So as we see this, the 15 shekels of silver and a homer of lethal. My little note down here said that's about 6 ounces, and lethal is probably about 10 bushels of grain. So he goes out, he finds this adulterous wife, and he has to buy her back. And how much would you pay, you know? For a woman that done you like that in your heart and your life. And then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man. And I will live with you. If you come home, be faithful to me, I'll live with you. Verse 4, for the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephods or idols. Afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings. And things that he says here. But this little short chapter here just gives us a picture of the nation of Israel as they come out of exile and they return to the God that loves them. And God first got to clean them up, ain't he? Well, you may argue with me here and disagree with me, and that's fine. But when the rapture takes place, what's the Lord going to have to do with us? He got to do some purification before we enter into the presence of.
Clean us up.
Huh?
Clean us up.
Clean us up. That's exactly right. And as good as we are on his side, we as filthy rags, you know, what he's doing. Any question about this? Anything you want to share? Next week, we're going to dig into God's wayward people. And, oh, if the whole world could hear that today, what the Lord says. Because there's a lot of wayward people today in their hearts. And they don't want any better. They don't want any difference, you know. And Trump trying to clean up some of the cities, you know, and the violent crimes and murders and stuff that's taking place, you know, being resisted on every hand, you know. People trying to their best to keep God out of everything. And that's our only hope. It's our only hope. Anything you want to share? I like y'all. You're a quiet bunch.
A lot of people wasn't raised right.
Yeah, a lot of people were raised right that ain't doing right, too. Yeah, you can switch it around just the way some folks do. Yeah. Brian, you dismiss us, brother.